fancy.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know what I'm saying?
You fancy.
I'm trying a little bit.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? We've been gone for a little bit. And that thing, we back. And, you know, I was trying to make sure this is right. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna make sure that, you know, as long as the local joints is good, the blurry that's going on right now, we shouldn't see. But I don't even know what episode of Some Dude this is.
It is 193, I think.
All right. You know what I'm saying? But we back. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. The Barbershare Network is the home. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Everything Some Dude Pod. And, you know, get the merch and all of that. But I know, Mike, you do this. Anytime you know I have a lot of stuff going on, you ask this question to me. So I'm going to ask this question to you. Mental health check. Where we at?
Mental health check. First of all, first and foremost, I'm happy to be back. Glad to be back behind the mic with my partner. You know what I'm saying? Some Dude Pie. Y'all already know what it is, man. But mental health check. For anybody that doesn't know, it's been over a month. My mother, she passed away. She transitioned. And I can honestly say that, I've never experienced a death in my family this close. Obviously, this is the closest, this hits the hardest. And so just like where I'm at now, where I was a month ago, okay. You know, some days are better than others. But I'm in a better space right now than I was, you know, a few weeks ago. My mother, that's one of the closest people to me. And it's unfortunate. And I'm still trying to process it, bang. I think about it every day. I think about her every day, and I'm still trying to process it because I talk to myself every day, and I just like ask so many questions, like why this happened and why this that happened, and I'm still processing it. It's processing still, like it hasn't really hit me all the way. It's hit me, but it hasn't. Because I honestly feel like I was robbed of time, you know. Honestly, like when I think of my mom, man, I feel like I had at least 15 years, you know. There's still things that, you know, I wanted and I knew that my mom was going to be able to see, and she's not going to be able to see it. So that bothers me every single day I think about that. So, I mean, as far as why I am mentally there, like that's still hard. It's still a hard pill to swallow. But I can honestly say that the week of my mom passing, that whole week from the time that she transitioned up until, you know, the arrangements, like that was the longest week of my life. You know, it's one thing to lose a relative, lose somebody as close as that to you. But it's also now, you know, I'm one of the primary people that's in charge of putting together, you know, a home going, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think that was just, it was something that it was a first for me. You know, a lot of people, you know, were depending on me to get things done when, you know, I'm saying to myself, like, who's going to be there for me, you know, to take care of this? Like, you know, who's going to be there for me to talk to? You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I'm having a moment, so it was hard for me. You know, and I honestly felt like during that whole week, I didn't really get to grieve how I wanted to grieve because I was so busy trying to get everything together. You know, my anxiety was through the roof. You know, I've experienced anxiety before, but nothing like how I, you know, experienced that week. But I want to say I appreciate everybody who reached out. You know, anybody that reached out, I appreciate it. And, you know, shout out to my brother, obviously my baby brother, you know, and I always joke around with him and he was my mama's favorite. So, you know, he took it. He's still going through it. And, you know, as a shout out to my wife, obviously was a, you know, a key person that was like right there for me. Shout out to, you know, even my daughter, you know, my 13-year-old, like it was like dealing with that. And, you know, that's her grandmother, you right. know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she loved her grandmother and I, and her, she handled it very well, you know, considering she's a very resilient child. And, you know, she's strong and she took it like a champion. You know, she had her moments, she's still having her moments, but, you know, shout out to her and shout out to any other of my family members. My father, obviously, you know, he was a big help. And any and all my other relatives, my aunties, cousins, everybody, you know, just I appreciate everybody that, you know, reached out and helped out in any way possible. And I think my mind finally was kind of like at ease once the ceremony, once we had the ceremony for my mother. It was very... my heart was very full to see the turnout, you know, and everything like that. And people showed up to say their goodbyes to my mother. And it was a very wonderful moment. And I really set my heart at ease, you know, and it helped me really deal with that situation and, you know, put me at peace a little bit. So, but overall though, now we are like a month in and me not having my mother, I'm okay. You know, like I said, the days will be better than others, but I know still that, you know, my family, they depended on me to know, you know what I'm saying, still hold it down and everything like that. And I know my mom, she would want me to, you know, keep moving, keep doing my thing, you know. So that's where we at, man. But, you know, rest in peace to my mother, Pamela Butler. I love you very much, Mom. And, you know, I'm going to continue to celebrate you every day. And, you know, that's where we at. I ain't going to get too emotional. I don't want to cry on here. So we good.
But you ain't me, huh? All right. Man, we good. I'm not.
But overall, we good, though, man. I'm okay, though. I'm okay.
You know? Nah, man, I feel you. You know, I've always been a let people breathe person, especially in a situation like this. Like, I'm fortunate, you know, right now to have not had a situation like that. Absolutely. You know, but, you know, it's your mother, you know what I'm saying? You know, it, you know, the no folks have always said that your mother is your first love. Mm-hmm. So on that one, I remember seeing it on Facebook and I was like, nah, and that's when I text you. It's like, nah, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. But as you are, as anybody listens to this pod, no, I understand. Look, I'm still dealing with my grandfather, which led me to some stuff that happened this weekend to lighten up the mood.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of concerning death.
Yeah.
I had the most interesting situation this weekend, Mike.
Yeah.
I think you might get a laugh out of this. So I think we've all, if you listen to the show, you've heard me have a conversation about my, as I call him, my new grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, we met like 2018, 2019 for the first time seeing him. Second time saw him, he actually met me in Atlanta at Birthday Bash, Birthday Bash brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing, you know, he got to kick it. You know, I told about this story about how he's talking about my grandmother, all that stuff. So I get a phone call from my aunt, Cassandra, who I mess with heavily. And she tells me that he's not doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
So not going to lie, Mike, I didn't know how to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my grandfather learning Nikki Harris is my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nothing gonna ever change that. I do feel bad that my mother never had her biological father in her life, but I'm very fortunate for the man who was in my life, and that's my grandfather, the man who I know is my grandfather, learning Nikki Harris. But I knew I was going to Atlanta, and he's based in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So I was conflicted. I'm like, on one hand, this is my biological grandfather. And if I'm going to be in Atlanta, I should go see him.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part is, I don't know this nigga like that.
Right.
Only technically seen him twice.
When you last saw him, did you ever have any intentions on like, hey, if I'm in the A,
yeah,
I'm gonna reach out and
yes,
want to see him?
Yes, I told him that, you know, I come to Atlanta a lot for work. So if I'm back in the A, I'll slide on you. He's like, all right, grandson, you know, all right, okay. Hearing him say grandson felt kind of weird.
I was about to say, how you feel about that?
Felt kind of weird. Like, I ain't want to call, I called him James.
Yeah. Or,
like, I ain't call him granddad.
It's kind of almost like you feel like you ain't earned the right to call me grandson, kind of, right? Go ahead.
Hit the nail on the head, G. You ain't earned that right, man. And you 87. So you ain't been around me my whole entire time. You wasn't around my grandmother. You wasn't around my mom. And I remember him apologizing to me. And I was like, fam, you ain't got to apologize to me. You apologize to my mom. You ain't got to apologize to me, though. No, simply because, you know, I felt like I had the greatest grandfather in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to pass that up for? So, you know, you can apologize to my mom because you were not in her life, you know, but nah, G, we good over here.
Mm-hmm.
So after talking to my grandfather, after talking to the wife, I was like, you know, if I'm down there, I'll go. Now my auntie though, shouts out to my auntie Cassandra. She wasn't going. She like, look, I'm sad he going through what he going through, but I'm not up and going to Atlanta
mm-hmm.
to see him. And I don't think your uncle is either, my Uncle Brian. Like, all right. But I had to tell my mom because my mom don't like to pick up the phone. But then to tell folks, man, you don't call me. I had to tell her that her biological father is dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother is, I love my mother to death. She a little melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mom, you didn't know this. You know what? Let you have your moment. So I get down to Atlanta, and man, it was a lot of stuff. This was probably the most draining work trip I've ever had. Matter of fact, this is probably the most draining week I've had in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about like who gonna be there for me?
Yeah.
That's how I felt for like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you know, not as you know, different situations, but nonetheless, I feel you, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturday, I'm out there, and now I'm debating on if I should do it or not. I talked to my father again. He like, man, you out there, you might as well just go.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get in touch with nobody else to kind of like be a balance. So I was like, fuck it. Call my auntie. My auntie says that she has a bad hip.
Yeah.
My auntie that's there
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta. The one that I guess she grew up with him being her dad. At first she was going to meet me there. But mm-hmm. then she was like, you know, I know she needs a hip replacement. So she was like, you know, she's not going to be able to make it. So I'm like, man, do he know I'm coming? Mind you, we only seen each other twice.
Yeah.
And he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if he's going to know who I am when I walk in. I don't want nobody trying to, you know, when I walk in. So she said, nah, he know you coming. Everything good. Boom. All right. Bet.
Okay.
But she couldn't come scoop me or she wasn't going to meet me. $40 lift to the hotel, from the hotel to the hospital.
Yeah.
So I'm already like, damn, $40 for this shit.
Uh-huh.
Shit. This better be good. So I get there, get to the room, he sleep.
Uh-huh.
About 5 minutes, I'm just standing there, figuring out why the fuck am I here.
Uh-huh.
And then he wakes up and looks to his right, and he sees me.
Okay.
And he says to me, hey, a football game on today?
Hmm.
No. No. At that moment, I regretted it. Like,
wow.
I'm not even going to front. At that moment, Mike, I was like, I should have stayed my ass at the hotel room. I should have went to the bar or some shit.
Wow.
He said, you sure? Like, nah, ain't no football on, G.
Okay.
It's got to be football on.
This is what he said.
This is what he said. It's got to be football on. What today is? Say March 9th. Day Biggie died. March 9th. Oh. So you sure it ain't no football on? Nah, it ain't no football on, man.
Yeah.
All right. And goes to sleep. I'm like, yeah, this ain't ending well at all, fam. Damn it. So then the doctor comes in. The doctor says, no, I introduce myself to the doctor and let him know about this situation.
Yeah.
Like, look, man, just for full disclosure, like, this is my third time seeing my grandfather. He's my biological grandfather. Long story, but this is my third time seeing him. I'm coming up here to visit him. Mike, he wakes up, looks to his right, and says, fourth time, four times. Go back to sleep.
You lying.
I'm like, man, what just happened? The doctor looked at me like, oh. Well, okay. Third or fourth time you're here. Just like to let you know that your grandfather fell last night and we're taking him to get a CT scan.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, wow. This weird. Let me call my auntie. Your auntie, man, I just want to let you know that your father fell last night. You know, the doctors just told me. She's like, oh, yeah, they said in the text group, that text thread, that he had failed last night. Hey, get as much information as you can and call me back. Okay. Now I'm delivering information?
Yeah, this is getting weirder and weirder, huh?
Weird. Oh, my fuck. Okay. So they said he failed. They taking him to get a CT scan. But on the right side of his neck, there's like a bruise from like here to his shoulder, collarbone. And it was like scar tissue.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? All right, auntie. They're going to take him to get the CT scan. However, it's a big ass bruise on his neck. Now, rewind real quick. Before they took him down to get the CT scan, he says, the only reason why I'm in this hospital is because my daughters. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be at that rehab either. I want to go home.
Okay.
All right. Now, my grandfather's in the hospital because of kidney failure. Now, what happened is he had kidney failure. He took dialysis, but then he didn't want to take dialysis no more. And from what my auntie said is when you take dialysis and then you get off of it, it can speed things up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 87. Might not got enough time. All right. So I tell my auntie, like, look, they're taking him, but he got a big ass scar and a bruise on his neck. She say, yeah, so that's why he probably don't want to go back to the rehab.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if he failed at the rehab or if he failed. I said, well, he fell at the hospital. Well, I don't know if he fell at the rehab, too. You know, my sister, your other auntie, she don't be saying much. Like, she told us in the text thread that he was hurt, that he fell, and you know, that he got the bruise and stuff, but we don't know what's going on in that hospital. And we don't know what's going on in the rehab. Matter of fact, if you there when she there, don't say too much. Like, excuse me? Yeah, don't say too much, because she crazy. She crazy. And, you know, she might take some of what you say and just run with it or whatever. You know, just don't say too much from her. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, thank you for letting me know. And you know, I'm glad that he's probably glad to see you there. So, you know, you have a good time with him. Mike, this nigga don't know who I am.
This is funny.
He don't know who I am.
Yeah.
So he comes back from the CT scan. They got 15 minutes before they take him to go to dialysis.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man. I looked at him and I said, you know, really praying for you and your health. You know, it's unfortunate that you're in this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just want you to know that, you know, again, that I have no issues. I wish you could have been there for my mom, but selfishly, I had the greatest grandfather in the world.
This is you telling him right now.
This is what I'm saying while he sleep.
Okay.
Because he ain't waking up, fam. Like, it's to the point where he sleep, and he got the sleep apnea sleep. So I don't know if he about to go or not. I don't know if I'm about to see a cold blue or not. While I'm saying this, I'm like, man, I hope don't nothing happen while I'm saying this. But simply put, I wanted to express that, look, sorry, like, you should have been there for my mom's, but selfishly, I'm good because I had the greatest grandfather that I could have. And that's who I acknowledge as my grandfather. Mm-hmm. But I definitely am praying for you and your wishes. And, you know, if this is it, you know, just want you to know that, you know, everything is good. Mm-hmm. So then he turns around and he looks at me and says some shit that I can't understand and then goes back to sleep.
Okay.
So then, after that, they proceed to take him to get the dialysis. And I was like, yeah, I'm not staying here. Because then, if I do stay here and my other auntie comes up, I don't want to hear that shit. But also, who's to say she ain't gonna kick me out this bitch?
Right.
Like, who's to say she don't come up in there? She's not like, who are you? Oh, I'm Lee Davis.
The other auntie don't know you.
Yeah, you say what?
The other auntie. You said your other auntie.
She don't know what I don't think she do. She don't think she know I exist, fam. Okay. Because from what my auntie Cassandra told me, she said, old girl a trip anyway. So she know all of this stuff, but apparently when all of this stuff started coming about.
And this
she,
is her sister?
Yes. They're all sisters. My mom, my auntie Cassandra, shout out to her. The auntie that I was in Atlanta with, her sister, they're all sisters, and he got like three other boys.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm like, I'm not about to stay.
Right.
Why? It don't make no sense to. He don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
Now, full disclosure, because I'm not going to get up here in front on the pod. We just not going to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel a way that's what it was, but I felt a way about this whole situation.
Okay.
This whole situation don't even take place if I don't do the Ancestry.com test.
Yeah.
I could have went my whole life not knowing who my biological grandfather is and not been worried because of who my grandfather was. I could have just, all right, peace. But I didn't. And I took the time to meet him last year and talk to him, and I honestly didn't feel anything, Mike.
Yeah.
I felt nervousness about meeting him, about what could happen, but I didn't feel anything. And I did not go see my therapist because Miriam was out of town. But I had talked to my therapist, and I had asked her, should I feel bad and not feeling bad? about this situation. Because I was trying, Mike. I ain't gonna front. I was like, man, this is...
It's like, it's kind of similar to, like, if you, I don't know if you remember the Jay-Z song from the Black Album, A Moment of Clarity.
Yeah.
And he, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, at his father died, went to his funeral. And, you know, they said he was at the funeral with a smirk on his face because it was just like, yeah, I'm smirking because I don't know this guy, but he look exactly like me, though.
Bruh. Yes. So, you know? So in looking at this man while he's laying down, I see certain figures, like especially this right here in cheeks. I look like this man in some cases. Like I look like him and my grandmother. But I feel nothing.
Because you don't know him.
Because I don't know him. And I talked to my therapist because I felt bad. Like, it's people that I don't know that I feel empathy for when things happen. So I go to my therapist. I'm like, man, I think I'm wrong here. Like, am I wrong for not feeling a way? Am I wrong by not feeling bad? Like, is what's up here? And my therapist looked me dead in the eye and said, no, you're not wrong for not feeling anything. Mm-hmm. If anything, that says a lot about this whole entire situation. Yeah. You should not feel bad over somebody that you have had less than a handful of interactions with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your blood. And if he's not here, you're not here, so to speak. But don't have no type of remorse, survivors or any other thing about this situation. You should not feel that way. Yeah. It is very understandable for you to not have any feelings. You can have empathy and be like, yo, damn, that feels bad. Like, I feel bad that this is happening. But outside of that, what else can you do? Mm-hmm. And there was my moment of clarity. Mm-hmm. You're right. I was looking at this man in the hospital and was like, yo, I kind of look like this man. I was watching him lay there and knowing his history, like he played basketball in college and stuff. And you know, apparently was like very talented. Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, man, it would have been dope to have kind of learned from him a bit. But then I'm like,
but again, as of you, first of all, one, you content with the fact that obviously, like you said, this man looks just like you, but you don't know him. And you know, you already know the back history and everything like that of why you don't know him. And again, but also, like you said, the fact that you had the greatest grandfather ever in your life, like, it's okay.
It's okay. And that's why I had said what I said by his bed.
Yeah.
No matter if he's hearing this or not, it's just the simple fact of I don't know too many people who would have did what I did. I don't. I don't know too many people who would have just been like, yo, about to slide up to this hospital and pay my respects to somebody that I don't really know. Mm-hmm. And even like my uncle apparently talked to my father. I had talked to my father and my father had said to me, my father has said to me, you know, it is what it is at this point. Like, you did what you needed to do. And my uncle told my mom, yo, why is you crying over this nigga that never cried over you?
Yeah.
And that's when my uncle, her brother, who shares the same father, who shares the same situation, said, why are you crying over a nigga that didn't cry over you? So I after I left and avoided a family situation that I didn't need to be in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on the way back to the hotel, and I was just thinking about my kids. Shit, I was thinking about all of my homies' kids, your situation, all of our situations. And I know times was different and everything and all of that, but it just kept coming to me like, man, I could never left Trey, Liam, and Landon like that. Mm-hmm. Like, forget Liam and Landon. I could never have left Trey like that.
Yeah.
I could never have left Trey by himself with his mom. I don't give a damn how many kids I would have had outside of that. I would never have left them like that.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, especially now of the situation that he is in, the main thing that I was wondering is that, does he feel remorse for not being in his child's life? Now, I'm going to use your situation, right? Because especially after what you had said, that you thought you had more time.
Mm-hmm.
You wish you had more time. And I think we all feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, when I got out the hospital when my grandfather died,
mm-hmm.
I thought I had time enough to tell him that we are giving Liam your middle name.
Yeah.
To pay respect to you.
Yeah.
Now, the good thing about this, I don't feel bad in not giving him his flowers, because before he passed away, months before he passed away, when we was dealing with this Ancestry.com situation, mm-hmm. I had told him, like, look, at the end of the day, I thank you for doing what you did for me, because you didn't have to be there.
Yeah.
But I got out the hospital on Tuesday, and on Thursday, I get the call from my father that he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking around. This is COVID, so, you know, we can't do shit. We got to walk around with a mask.
Yeah.
I'm glad I had that mask on, because nobody saw me crying like...
yeah.
Like, the world had just ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in the house, and I collapsed.
Yeah.
And I think they had already told Miriam what happened. So she was prepared. But she wasn't prepared to see me collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never collapsed before.
Mm-hmm.
I've never passed out. I've never blacked out. Even when I had my kidney burst, I was walking around like a G until I just couldn't lay down. And I just had to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
I collapsed as soon as I opened the door. And I broke down.
Yeah.
I can't imagine myself doing this with this nigga who's not my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
but biologically he is.
But it's normal. It's normal to have that thought in your mind, like, man, yo, am I wrong for not feeling a certain way, or like, questioning how you should feel about it is. I feel like in your situation, it's normal. It's normal, yeah. And like you said, you have every right to not feel a certain way, bro, and it's okay. You don't have to feel bad for not feeling a certain way, is what I'm willing to
say. Yeah, and after the Tyler Perry-esque issues, I was like, yeah, I definitely don't feel away. I definitely don't feel away. I know I got cousins or a cousin out there in Atlanta. It was funny because I was at the bar. You know, shouts out to Dante, Barbershed Digital. I ain't gonna hold you. He lives in Atlanta down the street. Oh, I saw Willie Green too, the head coach of the Pelicans.
The Pelicans, okay.
Pelicans was staying. I guess all of the NBA teams stay at the Four Seasons.
Okay.
Right next to the hotel we was at.
Okay.
Cause I saw one of the tall white niggas on the team too. But anyway. I was at the bar with him, and my auntie called. I told her I'd call her back, and she had asked if my cousin had reached out. And I was like, nah, I ain't get no call from nobody, Jack. I've did what I could have done. And here's the thing, Mike. I talked about this on the show, and it's definitely got my thoughts off in therapy. You know, I still struggle with being the only child, even though I'm not the only child. Because for 13 years, I was the only child. But I'm much older than my siblings.
Yeah.
I struggle with, as they get older, having like real true relationships because I damn near helped raise them.
Yeah.
But now I admit that, you know, I see things and I'd be disappointed and I'd be wanting to have a big brother conversation, but it comes off as a father because I'm much older than them.
Yeah.
Couple of things I always wanted. A brother that was around my age or a sister that was around my age and cousins on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. The only cousins that I have around my mother's, around like truly around my age, which is what I mean like 1 or 2 years, is my cousins Nina and Daniel there in Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And their family moved to Fort Wayne. That just moved us apart and all of that stuff. And they're doing good. Shouts out to Daniel, too. Daniel, a doctor. This nigga was running the shit that was across the street from where I live at. I mean, worked at in D.C. or in Maryland. So, like, that nigga doing real good. And all my cousins doing good. But those are the cousins that was around my age. But my mom grew up as the only child, so she didn't have cousins on her daddy's side. But then it's like, yo, you got cousins. And you want to be like, yo, let me go see if this nigga lame. Like, don't you want to meet your cousin that you ain't never met to see if this nigga lame or not?
Mm-hmm.
See if he cool. Do you drink? Man. Do you smoke?
Yeah.
Be on these bitches. Like, what? What's up, cuz? Like, oh, what's good?
Yeah.
When she said, when she asked me if Buddy Ass reached out, that means she told him to. And he said, fuck it. Fuck it. I think I needed that too.
Okay.
I think for mental health reasons and therapy reasons, I needed this weekend.
Yeah.
Because it gave me, honestly, this situation gave me a bit more closure even on my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
To really acknowledge that, man, I'm probably not here if it wasn't for you on this bed. I'm not here without you having sex with my grandmother. In turn, having my mom, turn her having me.
Okay.
But I'm also not here if my grandfather, who stayed when he didn't have to, because my grandmother died 3 months after I was born, he really could have been like, hey, man, y'all have a good life. Peace.
Yeah.
But he stayed around.
Yeah.
That just shows me how much of a man that he was. And he'll always be top three men in my life. But it also taught me to, for the people that were around me, to respect them more.
Yeah.
You know, the circle that I had or have.
Yeah.
To respect that more. Because it ain't nothing like it. To go to these people and being able to express these things that you should when it comes to being people being that close to you. Even this pod, like, look what we just spent the first 40 minutes talking about.
This is like therapy, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? This
right.
is real life moments.
This is like real life moments and therapy in itself.
Absolutely.
And it just taught me to honor and respect a lot of this stuff a lot more, because there's a lot of people in a lot of situations that ain't got what you got.
Yeah.
And I know that just inner circle wise, like, everybody got their faults and stuff, but man, I just truly believe I got the best cousins in the world. My cousin Jennifer, her 50th birthday, she just turned 50, and I didn't even realize she turned 50. Mm-hmm. But her 50th birthday was on the 4th. And, you know, and you've gotten this for people that I really rock with and care about. Instead of just sending them a text to say happy birthday, I send them a voice. If they got an iPhone,
yeah,
I send them a voice message so they can really hear. They can hear the love and respect that I have for them. And I I felt very fortunate to be able to tell her this. And she deals with it. She had a similar situation when it comes to like finding her biological family and all that stuff too. So that's why, yeah. Like, even that's crazy. But man, it just taught me in this situation to really just to respect what you got.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that for the most part, all of my homies' fathers was in their lives, mm-hmm. their mothers was in their lives, extended families was in their lives. Like I realize I'm very fucking fortunate to have a mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they get on my damn nerves, I'm very fortunate to have both of them in my life.
Yep.
I'm very fortunate to have my siblings. And my siblings are very fortunate to have an older brother that's looking out for them, yeah. no matter if they agree with it or not.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate to have the friends that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know where I'll be. Like, he'll laugh when if he hears this. But I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for my closest friends, Derek and Mario. I don't know where I'll be. I'll probably be dead and in jail because we mm-hmm. made sure that we looked out for each other. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm at without Otis, Vincent, Rainey. Like, these are my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the closest to me. That's I don't good. Know where I would be at. So if it were to come a time where I lose a parent or parents,
mm-hmm.
like, then you start to realize that when you start to lose these people, it's these people around you that take the place of them.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to my grandfather, biological. One of his daughters didn't even want to come up there.
Yeah.
His son didn't want to come up there. He still haven't seen one of his sons yet. Now, that's the crazy part. One of his sons, he has not seen ever. Ever, Jack. Matter of fact, he didn't see none of these kids until the first time.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So I can't feel too bad or anything because I gave this man a gift that he never expected to get.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the gift of meeting at least three of his kids. For the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that as he goes on this road here, that he has found at least something in them.
Yeah.
And feel remorse in not being in these people's lives.
Yeah.
Because I can say what I want to about my grandfather not being around, but my step-grandfather being around, but who's to say my mom wouldn't have had a much different life if he was around?
No.
Who's to say that my aunties, too? Like, things could have been different. My mom probably wouldn't have to struggle through some of the things that she struggled with because her mother died at 19. If he was still around, she would still have him.
Yeah.
Same with my aunties. So I feel blessed to have given him a gift that he wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah.
And I thank my wife for giving me that gift to give the gift in the first place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot to it and a lot that my therapist is going to hear after she hears this because it was funny.
Listen to the pod?
Nah, but she knows some of these stories.
Okay.
But shouts out to Big Med, who we're now working together.
Okay.
Again.
Shout out Big Med.
In a different capacity, but shouts out to Med because Med has said to me, you know shit like this only happened to you. Like, think about it, Mike. Shit like this only happens to me. When my grandmother died, it was a similar hilarious situation. Crazy, but hilarious. And in this situation, it's a whole Tyler Perry flick that involves grandparent falling, bruise on his neck, in a fight between two sisters about what's going on with him, but I ain't never meet them. I ain't know they exist.
Yeah.
I think I met one of them. I don't know which one was which. Like, that's the crazy part. I don't know which one of them was which.
Look, I say this, man. I'm gonna say this. I think with as far as your life story with certain things, as far as like family is concerned, I think you could write an incredible book. And I say this to Jay Morg too. So I shout out to Jay Morg. And I don't want to tell too much of his business, but I say as far as his love life is concerned, I always tell him that he can write an incredible book. Because the stories I know about his love life and the stories I know about your family, y'all could write two great books.
Man.
I'll say that for sure.
I'm actually going to. This, I wrote the first scene of some shit off of a challenge with Jay Davis. Jay Davis was like, stop playing. I bet. The next scene is going to be all of this. Because I sat there, and especially when Man said, I was like, yeah, you right, man. This shit only happens to me. I don't know nobody who's dealt with, like, this shit right here.
Dude,
but
I'm trying to tell you, fam. It could be a good book, a good movie script, something.
Something.
Look, write the screenplay, let somebody else take care of the little other details and other like that. Look, man, you got a story, bro.
Yeah, that's it. So,
and I feel like one day the world will know about it, whether it's through a book, whether it's through a movie or TV series.
Man.
Something. You know what I'm saying?
It's something.
Like, it could be a 2B movie. It's okay, bro. But look.
Nah, my shit ain't, nah. Your shit, my family life ain't going to be no 2B movie, fam. Nah, we ain't going to do that. We not going to do that at all. That, no, uh-uh.
Okay.
Uh-uh. We above 2B. The day, right. The Davis and the Brass.
You get a theater release.
No, the Davis and the Brassfield family life, or just my family in general. Netflix, we're above Tubi, fam. I don't
Netflix,
need
Netflix series then.
There we go. We could get a Netflix series from the creators of the Vince Staples show.
There you go.
Is right. JR's life.
Yeah.
You know, who would play me though? Like if you were to cast a Davis family.
I don't know if you got to be. Obviously, your main celebrity lookalike, you know what I'm saying? We can all sit here and everybody comes to an agreement that Jadakiss is your like evil twin, but nigga. Jada's not an actor. I think your lookalike is not an actor or not an actor.
So it would be me.
No, it wouldn't be you. We would have to do like a actual casting. We have to find somebody. I don't think like a A-list or B-list celebrity out there right now that looks like you.
Okay.
Particular. So we might have to do a casting call.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know, because I don't, yeah. I mean, Jadakiss, no. Like, who would play you? Like, who would you pick for you? Like,
So growing up, I don't know if you might notice it now that I say it. But everybody said growing up that I looked like Carlton from Fresh Prince. Everybody looked like him. I don't know if you spot it or notice it, but that's who they say I look like.
No.
So, dude, I heard that my whole life, man, growing up.
Maybe without the facial hair, I have to see it. I ain't seen you without facial hair in years.
It's been a while for the facial hair, but I think, yeah. Throw Alfonso in there. He could play me. Because that's the one who everybody says I look like growing up. Everybody says I look like Carlton from Fresh Prince. So that's who I would pick.
Okay.
To play me in a movie.
Like, I'm trying to look. Man, nah, I don't see the Carlton.
You don't see it?
I don't see the Carlton. So Steve Harris couldn't be me?
Steve Harris.
Fam, everybody say I look like Steve. Like, if it ain't Jadakiss, I look like Steve Harris. Wood Harris' brother. The dude from...
For sure. Oh, yeah, that'll work. Yeah. You know, yeah, I'm cool with that. I can see that.
Like, Steve Harris could be me.
Yeah, that works.
In the TV show. Could he do a comedy, though?
I don't know, because he always play a police officer or some shit.
Like, he's always a lawyer, or somebody who beat his wife.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I saw Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Well, not the whole thing, but I saw parts of it for the first time ever.
Recently?
Miriam was looking at me crazy like, you ain't never watched this shit? No, I've never watched Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yo, you crazy.
Like when he threw her ass at the crib, I was like, yo, what the fuck going on?
So you don't never catch the Tyler Perry jokes when it comes to him in that movie.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He did her wrong, though.
Yeah, like when you see the meme, like, yo, if you see this man, just know, like,
yeah.
Like, what did he do? What did Steve Harris do?
You just never understood. Huh?
Like, is Steve Harris funny?
I've never seen him in a comedic.
Could role. He do a comedy? Does he have the comedic timing for my life? You know who I would pick for me, though?
That's how the writers.
You know who I pick for me? Roy Wood Jr.
Okay.
Roy Wood Jr. looks like. Like he dealt with life like I dealt with life. And that's why he's a comedian. Like he looked like he would have the type of facial expressions that I would have if he heard some of the stories that have happened in my life. Mm-hmm. He has that such of, well, it is what it is when you even look at him. Like he just have a, hey man, it is what it is. Shit. Look about him. So I would choose Roy Wood Jr. for me,
right.
But I understand. I don't understand why y'all say I look like Steve Harris, man.
Nah, I can see that shit. That shit is.
But Steve Harris is from out west.
That works perfectly from the crib, G. We can get that going. We can get that
now.
Going.
Carlton, nah.
I see, that's who everybody sounds.
You
like.
Know who I would have picked for you, but unfortunately he's not here. Lamont Bentley. From Moesha. Like, that's who I would have picked.
Okay. Yeah.
Or, nah, you know who? Where Deion Richmond at? You Bud. Bud would play you in the TV show. That's who would play you in the TV show. Bud.
Oh, okay.
Who would play you. Now, we're not going to choose our wives because then our wives will be looking at us crazy.
Damn, I do kind of look like
you. Look like Bud, man. You look like Bud. You look like Bud. So you would be Bud.
I'm mad at that.
And I would be Roy Wood Jr. or Steve Harris.
Okay.
If there was a TV show around my life, because the pod would have to be in it. It would be, no, we're just casting. It would be Roy Wood Jr. or Steve Harris. It's me. It would be Bud is you. Okay. I got to find some badass kids for my kids.
Okay.
Damn, who would play? Omar Gooden will play the elderly.
Okay. Okay.
Vincent, the nigga who was at 8 Mile. The big nigga.
Oh, yeah.
That was also in Ballers.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
That would be Vincent.
Okay.
Countess Vaughn would be Rainey.
That got his whole cast.
Got the whole cast, fam. Countess Vaughn to be Rainey. And for Derek, damn, I got to find some. Who could play that nigga? You know what? Fuck it, T.I.
Okay.
Because T.I. acting and shit. T.I. could play him. I got my whole look. That's my whole cast. I won't pick because the wife will hear this and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But if I had to pick.
Okay.
Hmm.
I respect it.
Hey, Mary. Who would play you on a TV show? She don't know. Huh? She told me to do the damn podcast. I don't see who the new light skin. Things that be on TV. Now, I don't want to pick Tisha Campbell. Mm-hmm. Tisha Campbell 50. Kyla Pratt.
Kyla Pratt? Okay. Kyla Pratt.
She's in the 30s, so I got to grab somebody a little bit younger than me in that, if that's the case.
Yeah.
So, no, it can't be her. That's the fucked up thing about actors and actresses. Like, they be young, but playing old characters old characters playing young.
It's more so old playing young.
Like, Regina Hall still be out here playing movies like she 30.
Mm-hmm.
She look 30.
Yeah.
When you put on the makeup and that thing, but she still be like the young lawyer.
Yeah.
let me see, actors 30 and over. I'm gonna say over. I'm 40. Let me stop bullshitting. 40 and over. All right, Mike, who we got?
I'm gonna do 40s.
Black slip. You just gonna do 40s. That's fuck. You ain't 40 yet, Mike.
Alright.
You still got time. Let's see. Okay. Okay, let's see. See, it's the same niggas. It's just like when you pull up these folks, it's the same dudes. Like, I don't want Lorenz Tate to play mean. I want this to look right. Like Morris Chestnut. Like, I don't want to lie.
My fault. I gotta put black.
Yeah, you gotta put black.
This is crazy.
Okay, I got one. Hey, Amir! Can Derek Luke play me?
Derek Luke?
Yeah.
Nah, Derek Luke needed a Moreno.
Derek Luke. Can Derek Luke play me in the movie?
I don't see it.
Can Derek Luke play me in the TV show? She just said, I don't know.
Damn. I don't think so.
Just need help. Damn, what about Richard T. Jones?
I'm looking at the actress.
Nah, damn, nah. I don't know, man. That's fucked up. Man, where all the fat actors at?
You got your actor, bro. You got him, fam.
No, you know who could play me in the show? You know who could play me in the show? Homie from Snowfall. What's Unc name?
Okay.
Jerome Saint. I want Jerome Saint, y'all. Jerome Saint can play me. There we go. So let's change it. Amin Joseph, who plays Jerome Unc in Snowfall, that's me. I got to find somebody for the wife. The big nigga from Ballers and 8 Mile is Vincent.
Okay.
Otis could be Omar Gooden. Derek could be T.I. Mario could be Big Sean, because they say he look like Big Sean. And you going to be Bud.
Okay.
And Rini going to be Countess Vaughn. That's the show. And then just find two raggedy-ass kids, or three, to play them. Yeah. And, you know, they just be precocious and shit, like, on Full House.
Yeah.
Like, they got a quote. Like, thank you. Like, Liam be like, thank you. So that could be the quote.
What about Kenan Thompson? Kenan Thompson?
Nah, I'm straight.
You don't want Kenan Thompson to play? Mm-mm.
I need Unc. Because I want to be kind of swole, fam. I don't want to be right. Too swole.
Okay.
But I want to be kind of in shape. I don't want them to catch, because ain't that many fat black actors, and like Kenan Thompson can't play everybody that's black and fat.
Okay.
He already got his own TV show.
Okay.
So, like Kenan Thompson. But nope. But you could tell Amin Joseph just to get a little beer belly.
Yeah.
Boom. And it'd be kind of like Married with Children meets Martin.
Yeah.
That's how the show would be.
Okay.
And you make it, because we're doing the podcast.
I rocks with that.
So, look, man, I wanted just to get an episode out the way. Yeah, I wanted to get an episode out the way to get us back. We could talk about all this NFL shit and all of that shit next week. But yeah. I wanted to get an episode out the way to get our wings back up under us and let everybody know we back. A little bit later, we'll be announcing some stuff that'd be going on in May and everything. We wasn't able to announce and do a lot of stuff, you know, because a lot of stuff was going on. But we got something coming up at the end of May that we would love for y'all to attend. But, yeah, I really just wanted to get the episode, get us back and everything. And also, just show the love and appreciation for you. As everybody know, I've dealt with a whole bunch of shit on this pod. Like, I know almost died a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Family members and all of that shit. I've moved twice.
Yeah.
All the shit. I moved and did a lot. Yeah. So, but, you know, and you've been, you know, through the pod, you've definitely been rocking with me. So it's only right for me to pay the respects and condolences and to your family and everything. But also, just know you ain't alone, Jack. I, like I said, you said that and it really hit home. And also, I think it hits home for a lot of black men, especially in situations like this, to feel alone. You're not alone. We know everybody's rocking with you. Also, got insurance, therapy, my nigga.
Yeah, man. I think about it every day, bro. Like, I think about, like, talking to somebody.
Therapy, my nigga.
Because I can't just talk to myself.
Yes.
You know?
Nigga.
Because I do that a lot. Like, I'm having conversations with myself, but I feel like it's something that's going to be in my near future. Sitting down and actually talking to somebody. But, man, I appreciate it. And, you know, it's good to be back. I appreciate it. You know, all the love from everybody. You know, definitely, you know, feels good to be back on the mic. And like Bang said, man, we got some things coming up. You know, just stay tuned and everything like that. And then, yeah, man. That's
it. So, man, end us off.
Some Dude Pod, man. Rate, like, subscribe. Y'all already know, man. Hashtag Some Dude Pod is the Facebook group. We on Twitter at Some Dude Pod. We on IG at Some Dude Pod. Make sure y'all subscribe to the new page, the digital. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Digital. You know, that's where you can find us at. And that's where we are, where all your podcasts are all available at. And I might be, that's J.R. Bang. Some Dude Pod, and we out.